A reading from the book of Genesis. When Abram prostrated himself, God spoke to him. My covenant with you is this. You are to become the father of a host of nations. No longer shall you be called Abram. Your name shall be Abraham. For I am making you the father of a host of nations. I will render you exceedingly fertile. I will make nations of you. Kings shall stem from you. I will maintain my covenant with you and your descendants after you throughout the ages as an everlasting pact to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land in which you are now staying, the whole land of Cana, as a permanent possession, and I will be their God. God also said to Abraham, on your part, you and your descendants after you must keep my covenant throughout the ages. Verbum Domini. The Lord remembers his covenant forever. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek to serve him constantly. Recall the wondrous deeds that he has wrought, his portents and the judgments he utters.
The Lord remembers his covenant forever.
Your descendants of Abraham, his servants, sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, he the Lord is our God. Throughout the earth, his judgments prevail.
The Lord remembers his covenant forever.
He remembers forever his covenant, which he made building for 1,000 generations. Which he entered into with Abraham and by his oath to Isaac.
The
Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
And glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the Jews, Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever keeps my word will never see death. So the Jews said to him, Now we are sure that you are possessed. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, Whoever keeps my word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, or the prophets who died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, If I glorify myself, my glory is worth nothing. But it is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. You do not know him, but I know him. And if I should say that I do not know him, I would be like you, a liar. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Abraham, your father, rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham came to be, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid and went out of the temple area. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, my brothers and sisters, it's good to be here on this Thursday of the fifth week of Lent. And Father Matthew, always good to see you. Thank you for allowing me to be here. It's an honor and a privilege for me to be here this morning and to preach. So our readings today, and especially the gospel reading from the eighth chapter of St. John's Gospel, is really a continuation of this long interaction between Jesus and the Pharisees. Actually, starting on Monday of this week, and every day this week, we've been reading from this eighth chapter of St. John's Gospel. And if you went back and read it just for context, you would know that Jesus and the Pharisees, or Jesus and the Jews, as St. John refers to them, are having this kind of back and forth sort of interaction argument over who Jesus is and what is he saying and why is he saying these things the way he says them. And so we see in today's gospel that the Jews finally start talking about Abraham, the father of the Jews. And they're using this example of Abraham and who Abraham was to refute Jesus' teaching, to try to contradict and catch Jesus in saying something that's not true. And so the Pharisees are having a hard time listening to and believing what Jesus is saying. If you look back a little bit earlier in this same chapter, the eighth chapter in verse 12, Jesus tells them, quote, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." That's the 12th verse. And in verse 24, a little bit further along, Jesus again says this, "That is why I told you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins." Verse 24. And again in verse 28, this same chapter, Jesus says to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will realize that I am, and that I do nothing on my own, but I say only what the Father taught me." And so we hear in today's gospel, Jesus saying once again in verse 51, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever keeps my word will never see death." And so this is where the Jews and the Pharisees get really upset, and they start talking about, well, Abraham died, the prophets died. How can you say that if we believe in you, you will not see death? And Jesus answers again, and he said, "Whoever keeps my word will never taste death." So this back and forth between Jesus and the Pharisees about Abraham culminates in verse 58, and we heard it in today's gospel, where Jesus says to them once more, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham came to be, I am." So we hear in three different times where Jesus says the words, "I am." And if you look at your Bible study notes from the USCCB about this reading, about this passage, you will see this reference, you'll see this explanation. The words, "I am," and they're capitalized, so there's a different sort of emphasis on these words. "I am." "I am" is an expression that the late Jewish tradition understood as Yahweh's own self-designation. And they reference Isaiah chapter 43 and Moses' interaction with God at the burning bush. Remember, Moses is sent to the Pharaoh and to the Jews in Egypt, and he's a little afraid. He says, "Well, who should I tell them sent me?" And God tells him, "Tell them, I am, sent you." So Jesus is using the same words as God used to describe himself. And so Jesus, again, is placing himself in the same conversation on a par with Yahweh, the Father in heaven. And thus there's the charge of blasphemy. That's why they get so upset. That's why they want to stone him. That's why they want to kill him. That's why they want to drive him out of the temple. How can you, a human person, say, "I am," that I am God? So it's a very interesting and, of course, a very tense interaction between Jesus and the Pharisees. And so as we're approaching the end of our Lenten season, what are we to take away from these readings? What should we be thinking about? Well, I think, first of all, the readings are about faith. They're about seeing with the eyes of faith what God says and what God does. Because both in the Old Testament reading and in our gospel reading, Jesus and Abraham are responding and asking for faith. In the first reading, Abram hears, believes, and follows what God says to him. He is faithful to God's instructions. He understands and hears what God says and is willing to follow what the Father says. And so his name is changed from Abram to Abraham. And he gets all the blessings of that first covenant that God makes with Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation, for all time, which is that he will be fertile and there will be many children. The second is he'll have land. They'll have the prosperity of land and flocks, and then there'll be a great nation. He'll become a king, and from his family will come kings. And so we know from our Old Testament readings and studies that this is the Jewish people's history, and this is why they revere Abraham so very much. But then in the gospel, God again speaks to the Jews, but this time he does it in the person of his son, his only begotten son who he sends to them to reveal to them once again who God is, who the Father in heaven is, and how the Father in heaven loves them so very much and wants them to follow his son, Jesus, and in following Jesus, they are being faithful to the Father. And so that comes to the second point of the readings, which are really about fidelity. God's fidelity to his promises to Abraham are true. And then Abraham acts in fidelity to what God asks of him. So if you remember a little bit further on, Abraham, who was childless, gets an only son, right? Isaac. And yet God asks Abraham to give up his only son, Isaac. And Abraham follows God unquestionably. It's got to be difficult. He's got to be thinking, what is God asking me to do? But he believes and trusts and is faithful to God and follows his words. And so we understand that from this that God is faithful to his promise to save his people and to save all of creation by sending his only son, Jesus, to be the sacrificial, innocent Lamb of God who suffers and dies on the cross so that we and all creation might be saved. So as we're drawing to the end of our Lenten season this year, the church asks us once again to look into our hearts and to ask that very essential but hard question. Do I have faith in God our Father? Do I have faith in Jesus, his only begotten Son? And do I hear his words, the words of Jesus, which are the words of the Father? And do I believe in what he says? Do I believe in what he teaches? And am I willing to be faithful and follow him? When I was younger and growing up, my father used to tell us, I was one of five boys and we had a sister, and he always used to say, pray for faith. And I thought that was odd. As a young man, I thought, well, why do I pray for faith? I already have faith. I'm baptized a Catholic. I believe in the Catholic Church. I'm going to church and I have faith. And it was only then that I got older that I realized that faith is a gift and a grace from God our Father in heaven. And so we should always be praying that God will increase our faith, that we can be more faithful, because fidelity is what we do. It's our response to faith. And so faith is a gift. We can't increase our faith on our own. We have to receive it from God, but we can increase our fidelity by acting and listening and doing the works that Jesus asks us to do. And so the Lenten season is to remind us of this, that we are to have faith and grow in our faith, but we are to be faithful and fidelity in fidelity to our Lord and our God and our Savior. And so today, as we contemplate these readings and as we hear come to Mass, we have our prayers to perhaps ask God to help us to grow in our faith. And we ask God to help us to open our ears and open our hearts and open our minds to the words that Jesus is saying, and not be like the Pharisees that we hear all this week, that they closed their eyes, they closed their mind, they closed their heart. They could not believe in what Jesus was saying. And so as we receive our Lord today in this most holy Eucharist, let us pray for faith. Let us pray for our faith, that our faith will grow. But let us also pray for wisdom and the strength to be faithful, to follow our Lord, even when it's hard. Even when there's trials and tribulations, even when God is seemingly asking us for something to do something that we could never, ever imagine or even want. And it is in that act of fidelity, that act of the will in following our Lord and following our Father in faith, that we will receive even more the graces to be better followers of Jesus Christ. And so today at this Mass, we pray that we might be like Abraham, the father of the Jews, the father in faith, but that we'll also be like Mary, our Blessed Mother, who followed Jesus in the words of the Father unquestionably, and St. Joseph, her husband, who also followed, heard the word of God and followed it to a T. And of course, all the apostles who failed in many ways, as we'll read next week during Holy Week, but still came back to the Lord and did not let their failure prevent them from being good disciples and followers of Jesus Christ. So today, let us, even if we've fallen, realize that God calls us to faith, a deeper faith, a greater faith, so that we too can be more faithful to our Savior.